This recording is a service of the Allen County Public Library's audio reading service. It is specifically designed for and directed to people who have visual, physical, learning, or language challenges to reading traditional printed materials.
Welcome to News in Review, coverage of the national and world news stories that we don't have time to read during the week. Don't miss out on important information from around the globe. Get it all on News in Review, coming up next on your audio reading service.
Welcome. This is News in Review, and I'm your reader, Don, with the audio reading service at the Allen County Public Library in Fort Wayne, Indiana. Today I'll be reading national and world news articles from the Journal Gazette, copyright 2025, from September 18th through September 24th, beginning now with September 18th articles. Suspect in custody after car rams security gate at Pittsburgh FBI site by Associated Press. A suspect was in custody after a driver rammed a car into a staffed security gate at the FBI building in Pittsburgh early Wednesday, then removed an American flag from the back seat and threw it over the gate before leaving, authorities said. This was a targeted attack on this building, Christopher Giordano's assistant special agent in charge of the FBI in Pittsburgh told reporters. No personnel were injured. The suspect, identified as Donald Henson of nearby Penn Hills, was taken into custody after 10 a.m., more than 7 hours after the incident, officials said. No details on the motive or how he was able to flee were immediately available, but the FBI said it was not treating it as a terrorism case, spokesperson Bradford Eric said. No charges had been posted in a federal docket listing for Henson by early Wednesday afternoon, and federal prosecutors did not immediately return messages seeking comment. The FBI was familiar with Henson, whom Giordano described as a former member of the military. A message left at a phone number linked to him was not immediately returned. He did come here to the FBI field office a few weeks ago to make a complaint that didn't make a whole lot of sense, Giordano said. He said the car appeared to have some sort of message on a side window, but did not elaborate. The car, a white sedan, also appeared to have a U.S. Air Force sticker on it. Investigators, including a bomb squad, found no explosives at the scene. The security gate is staffed by around the clock by a federal contractor, Eric said. Leaked Kohlberger prison video, real source unknown, by Idaho Statesman, TNS. The source of a security footage leak of Brian Kohlberger in an Idaho prison cell remains undiscovered a month after videos of the man convicted of killing 4 University of Idaho students published online in direct violation of Idaho Department of Correction policy. Prison leaders pledged in August to root out the individual or individuals responsible through an investigation of its correction staff at Idaho's maximum security prison known as IMSI. The leak represents a clear violation of IDOC standard procedures, officials said, and the leaker could be fired or charged with a crime. Videotaping and publicly sharing security footage is prohibited conduct, and we will be reviewing all legal options, including criminal prosecution, the prison system said in a statement last month. The safety and security of our staff and incarcerated population remain our top priority. At the time, the agency warned of the possibility the footage was faked or generated with artificial intelligence, but an internal email from IDOC Director Bree Derrick to prison staff the same day last month, obtained by the Idaho Statesman through a public records request, stated a strong belief the footage was real. These appear to be taken from inside IMSI. We are taking this matter very seriously, she wrote. IDOC officials confirmed to the Statesman on Wednesday that they determined the video of Kohlberger was genuine, but still do not have a suspect. While many edited or AI-enhanced versions of the video exist, we have determined that the original video appears to be authentic and in clear violation of IDOC policy. IDOC spokesperson Sonda Kutsta-Seremagic said in a statement, "The investigation into this matter is ongoing and remains a priority." Idaho State Police typically oversees investigations at the state prisons, but IDOC is handling the review of the security video leak internally, ISP spokesperson Aaron Snell said. Kohlberger, 30, pleaded guilty in July to 4 counts of first-degree murder in an agreement with prosecutors to avoid the death penalty. He was sentenced to consecutive life terms with no chance of parole or ability to appeal. Just hours after his sentencing hearing, Kohlberger was transferred from the Ada County Jail in Boise to the maximum security prison near Kuna on July 23rd, according to prison system housing records. 6 days later, he was moved from a medical unit where he was initially held to a solitary confinement cell in the prison's J block, the records showed. Kohlberger complained about mistreatment, including threats of sexual assault from other prisoners during his first month of incarceration, prison records revealed. Today, the convicted killer remains in the same wing of the prison where those incidents took place, the Idaho Prison System's website showed Wednesday. Gen Z leads biggest decline in FICO scores since 2009 crisis by Bloomberg News TNS. Gen Z borrowers took the biggest hit of any age group this year, helping pull overall credit scores lower in the worst year for U.S. consumer credit quality since the global financial crisis roiled the world's economy. The average FICO score slipped to 715 in April from 717 a year earlier, marking the second consecutive year-over-year drop, according to a report released Tuesday by the Fair Isaac Corp. The average score dropped 3 points to 687 in 2009. Gen Z borrowers saw the largest drop not only this year but of any age group since 2020, with their average score falling 3 points to 676, the Montana-based creator of the FICO credit score said. FICO scores are a measure of consumer credit risk and are frequently used by U.S. banks to assess whether to provide loans. The scores typically range from 300 to 850. The credit scoring agency attributed the recent overall drop to higher rates of utilization and delinquency, including the resumption of reporting student loan delinquencies, a category that hit a record high of 3.1% of the entire scorable population. Some 34% of Gen Zers are still paying off their student loans compared to just 17% of the total population, the report said. The cohort was also most likely to see their scores fall dramatically, with 14% of the group having a score decrease of 50 points or more compared to 10% of the total population. While the overall average score dropped, the median FICO score continued to rise to 745 from 744 a year ago, indicating a large drop in scores at the low and dragged down the average. Within the amounts owed category of the FICO score, credit card utilization continued to rise. Utilization, calculated as credit card balances divided by credit limits, reached to 35.5% after hitting a low of 29.6% in April 2021. Some national and world news briefs by the news services. widow tests confirm Navalny poisoned. The widow of Alexei Navalny said Wednesday that two independent labs have found that her husband was poisoned shortly before his death in a Russian prison. Navalny, who crusaded against official corruption and staged massive anti-Kremlin protests as President Vladimir Putin's fiercest foe, died in the Arctic penal colony in February 2024. He was serving a 19-year sentence that he believed to be politically motivated. Authorities said the politician became ill after a walk, but have otherwise given few details on his death. He was 47. In a video released Wednesday, Yulia Navalnaya said biological samples from Navalny's body had been taken out of Russia and tested at two laboratories abroad. September 19th articles. For first time, ancient bugs found in South America by Associated Press. Scientists have discovered prehistoric insects preserved in amber for the first time in South America, providing a fresh glimpse into life on Earth at a time when flowering plants were just beginning to diversify and spread around the world. Many of the specimens found at a sandstone quarry in Ecuador date to 112 million years ago, said Fabiani Herrera, creator of fossil plants at the Field Museum in Chicago and co-author of the study published Thursday in the journal Communications, Earth and Environment. Almost all known amber deposits from the past 130 million years have been in the Northern Hemisphere, and it's long been an enigma that scientists have found few in southern regions that once comprised the supercontinent Gondwana, said David Grimaldi, an entomologist at the American Museum of Natural History, who was not involved in the discovery. This marks the first time researchers have identified ancient beetles, flies, ants, and wasps in fossilized tree resin in South America, said Ricardo Perez de la Fuente, a paleontologist at the Oxford University Museum of Natural History, who also was not involved in the new study. Amber pieces are little windows into the past, Perez de la Fuente said, adding that the discovery will help researchers understand the evolving interactions between flowering plants and insects that lived during the era of the dinosaurs. The researchers uncovered hundreds of fragments of amber, some containing ancient insects, pollen, and tree leaves, at a sandstone quarry in Ecuador that's on the edge of what is today the Amazon basin. But today's rainforest is much different from what dinosaurs roamed through, Herrera said. Based on analysis of fossils in the amber, the ancient rainforest contains species of ferns and conifers, including the unusual monkey puzzle tree that no longer grow in Amazonia. It was a different kind of forest, said Herrera. The amber deposits were previously known to geologists and miners who worked at the Genoveva quarry. Study co-author Carlos Jaramillo of the Smithsonian Tropical Research Institute first heard of them about a decade ago and set out to find the exact location, aided by geology field notes. I went there and realized this place is amazing, Jaramillo said. There is so much amber in the mines, and it's more visible in the open quarry than it would be if hidden under dense layers of vegetation. Researchers will continue to analyze the amber trove to learn more about Cretaceous-era biodiversity, including the insects that contributed to evolution by feeding on flowering plants. Amber tends to preserve things that are tiny, Grimaldi said. It's the time when the relationship between flowering plants and insects got started, said Perez de la Fuente, and that turned out to be one of the most successful partnerships in nature. Deadly attack on officers was ambushed by stalking suspect, by Associated Press. A suspected stalker armed with a rifle hid at his ex-girlfriend's home in a rolling farmland of southern Pennsylvania and ambushed police officers who came to arrest him, killing three of them, a prosecutor said Thursday. Police arriving at the scene at about 2:10 p.m. Wednesday noticed the door to the home was unlocked, even though the ex-girlfriend and her mother had locked it before leaving the property for their safety. They opened the door and were immediately fired upon by the suspect, 24-year-old Matthew James Ruth, who was carrying an AR-style rifle with a suppressor, York County District Attorney Tim Barker said. He said the suspect fired multiple rounds at the four officers at the door, killing three of them. A gunfight then ensued between Ruth and two officers outside. Ruth wounded a sheriff's deputy before police shot the gunman to death, Barker said. Detective Sergeant Cody Becker, Detective Mark Baker, and Detective Isaiah Emanizer were the officers who were killed, he said. They all worked for the Northern York County Regional Police Department. The violence erupted Wednesday afternoon as officers sought Ruth, who they believed had been at the property the night before. A woman he had briefly dated lived there. Her mother called police late Tuesday after she spotted a man wearing camouflage looking into the home with binoculars. Officers also spoke with the daughter, who had a photo from a trail camera showing someone carrying a rifle outside and aiming a scope at the house, according to a police affidavit. Ruth eluded police that night, leading them to return the next day with misdemeanor warrants for his arrest. The young woman's car had been set on fire in August, and she said she suspected he may have been involved. Turning Point elects Kirk's widow as leader. Organization sees growing interest, support since killing, by Associated Press. Turning Point USA, the organization Charlie Kirk founded to mobilize young Christian conservatives, has seen a massive surge in interest and support since the activist's assassination last week. As conservatives mourn Kirk's death, the group appears poised to remain a MAGA juggernaut as it plots its future without Kirk at the helm. The group's board announced Thursday that Kirk's widow, Erica Kirk, had been unanimously elected as its next leader and will serve as CEO and board chairman. This was what Charlie hoped for and wanted, and he said so numerous times, Tyler Bauer, the group's chief operating officer, said on social media. Erica is one with Charlie, and Charlie is one with Erica. Turning Point became a multi-million-dollar operation under Charlie Kirk's leadership and was credited with helping to return President Donald Trump to office. Since Kirk's killing, his podcast and social media have attracted millions of new followers. There has been an outpouring of interest in expanding Turning Point's footprint on college and high school campuses, the group spokesperson says, and future large-scale events are continuing as planned. It will grow, said Turning Point spokesperson Andrew Colbert, who is also a producer of the Charlie Kirk Show podcast. What we're seeing is that Charlie's legacy will be much greater, broader, and bigger than we even realized in life. Trump told reporters in the Oval Office this week that through this horrible act, Turning Point could be maybe bigger than it could have ever been had he been there. And I will say this, he'd be very happy if he saw what was going on, Trump said. Both Turning Point and Kirk's other ventures have received unprecedented interest since he was killed. Kirk's podcast is now the top show on Apple. His social media accounts have gained millions of followers, and his clips have garnered millions of viewers. Turning Point has also received over 60,000 inquiries to start new campus chapters, Colvette said Thursday. The group currently has 3,500 chapters on college campuses and in high schools across the nation. Aubrey Hudson, president of the Turning Point chapter at Brigham Young University that helped organize the Utah Valley University event where Kirk was assassinated, said hundreds of students have reached out about getting involved. That's the beautiful part of this tragedy, that his movement, Turning Point, is exploding, she said. Turning Point USA and its affiliated group, Turning Point Action, played a crucial role in the 2024 election. Some national and world short notes by Associated Press. Senate GOP confirms 48 nominees at once. The Senate confirmed 48 of President Donald Trump's nominees at once, voting for the first time under new rules to begin clearing a backlog of executive branch positions that had been delayed by Democrats. Frustrated by the stalling tactics, Senate Republicans moved last week to make it easier to confirm large groups of lower-level, non-judicial nominations. The new rules allow Senate Republicans to move multiple nominees with a simple majority vote, a process that would have previously been blocked with just one objection. The rules don't apply to judicial nominations or high-level cabinet posts. Four aboard crashed Army Blackhawk. Four service members were aboard a U.S. Army MH-60 Blackhawk helicopter that crashed near Joint Base Lewis-McChord in Washington State, the Army said in a release Thursday. The Army did not release their conditions. The helicopter was on routine training mission when it crashed about 9 p.m. Wednesday, an Army official said in a statement. The soldiers were part of the 160th Special Operations Aviation Regiment, Airborne, of all official said. The cause of the crash was under investigation, the Army said. September 23rd articles. Africa wages costly fight to save rhino population by Associated Press. The Dinonking Game Reserve in South Africa has a thriving rhino population, but its exact numbers and the details of the security operation that keeps them safe from poaching are closely guarded secrets. There are protocols that reserves with rhinos follow to ensure they're not the next target for poachers, who still kill on average one rhino every day in South Africa for their horns, despite decades of work to save the endangered species. South Africa has the largest populations of both black and southern white rhinos of any country and sees itself as the custodian of the animal's future. As conservationists marked World Rhino Day on Monday, South Africa remains in a constant and costly battle against poaching nearly 30 years after black rhinos were declared critically endangered and more than half a century since southern white rhinos were on the brink of extinction with just a few dozen left. South Africa has more than 2,000 of the 6,700 black rhinos left in the wild or in reserves, and 12,000 to 13,000 of the world's 15,000 remaining southern white rhinos, which are now listed as near threatened after a turnaround. Those two species are only found in the wild in Africa. South Africa's rhinos are spread between government-run parks and private owners like Dino King. The country has made marked progress in the last decade with the public-private collaboration, bringing the number of rhinos killed by poachers from well over 1,000 every year to 420 last year. Yet 195 rhinos were killed by poachers in the first half of this year, according to South African Environment Ministry, still one every day. In South Africa and elsewhere, anti-poaching efforts now employ high-tech tactics to help rangers. Reserves are using drones, night surveillance equipment, radar technology, motion sensing cameras, and artificial intelligence. The fight against poaching is always looking for new ways to stop rhinos being killed. This year, a group of scientists in South Africa working with the International Atomic Energy Agency launched a program to inject small amounts of radioactive material into rhinos' horns. The aim is to make them unsellable, but also detectable if they are smuggled through borders. The scientists said the radioactive material does not harm the rhinos. The East African nation of Uganda on Monday held its first ever ceremony to name a 17 rhino calves at a sanctuary, an event the head of the country's wildlife agency described as a powerful statement that Uganda has chosen restoration over despair and resilience over loss. Rhinos were hunted to extinction in Uganda, but the species was reintroduced in 1996, and the country is now home to 50, said James Musinguzi, Executive Director of the Uganda Wildlife Authority. World Rhino Day was started in 2010 to raise awareness of the threat of poaching and habitat loss for all five of the world's rhino species. Remains of four infants found in Pennsylvania by Associated Press. A Western Pennsylvania woman has been charged with criminal homicide, involuntary manslaughter, and multiple counts of abuse of a corpse after the remains of her four infants were found in a home she had been evicted from last month. Jessica Marie Mothy, 39, was arrested after her former landlord called police to the home she had lived in outside Ford City, about 40 miles northeast of Pittsburgh. State police said the remains were found in a bedroom closet and in the attic of the home on Oak Avenue in Cadogan Township. The landlord was cleaning out a closet in the home on September 13th when he came across a trash bag with a foul odor and something wrapped in towels that was decomposing, according to the arrest affidavit issued Thursday. Investigators found the bodies of three other infants in the attic in tote bags wrapped in towels and inside plastic bags, police said. Messages seeking comment were left Monday for public defender Greta Marie Kaiser, listed as Molly's defense lawyer in the online docket, and for Armstrong County District Attorney Katie Charlton. Earthquake wakes San Francisco by Associated Press. Residents across the San Francisco Bay Area were jolted awake early Monday by a moderate earthquake that was felt widely across the region. The 4.3 magnitude quake hit shortly before 3 a.m. just east-southeast of Berkeley, across the bay from San Francisco, according to the U.S. Geological Survey. No injuries or major damage was reported, but some businesses said windows were broken and merchandise tumbled from shelves. Things were shaking in our newsroom, posted Dave Clark, a news anchor for KTBU-TV. It caught everyone off guard. Bay Area rapid transit trains ran without delays for several hours as crews made safety inspections of the tracks. BART said trains returned to regular service around midday. Tiger kills handler at Oklahoma show by Associated Press. A large tiger fatally attacked an animal handler as horrified onlookers watched during the end of a big cat show at a preserve in southeastern Oklahoma, officials said Monday. Ryan Easley, 37, was dead when deputies arrived Saturday at the Growler Pines Tiger Preserve near Hugo, Oklahoma, not far from the Texas border, just minutes after dispatchers received an emergency call, said Choctaw County Sheriff Terry Park. Park said the tiger unexpectedly started to bite and then shake easily while the two were inside of a large cage. It was a big tiger, Park told the Associated Press. This particular one he'd had for quite some time. Park said Easley's wife and young daughter were present when the attack occurred. Messages left Monday with Growler Pines Tiger Preserve were not immediately returned. This tragedy is a painful reminder of both the beauty and unpredictability unpredictability of the natural world, the preserve said in a statement on its Facebook page. Ryan understood those risks, not out of recklessness, but out of love. The animals under his care were not just animals to him, but beings he formed a connection with, one rooted in respect, daily care, and love. All tours have been canceled until further notice, the statement said. Two different animal rights organizations, People for Ethical Treatment of Animals, or PETA, and Humane World for Animals, said Easley's death is a sad reminder of the dangers posed when wild animals, like tigers, are used in performances. It was really only a matter of time before these cats responded in a way that is completely natural to them, which is to use aggression to respond to a stressor, said Debbie Metzler, PETA Foundation's Senior Director of Captive Wildlife. Moldova arrests 74 in alleged Russian plot to create unrest, by Associated Press. Moldovan authorities said they carried out 250 raids and detained dozens on Monday as part of an investigation into an alleged Russia-backed plan to incite mass riots and destabilize the country around a critical parliamentary election. The raids targeted more than 100 people and took place in multiple localities across the country, police said. 74 people were detained for up to 72 hours, said Victor Fortuna, Moldova's chief prosecutor from the Office for Combating Organized Crime and Special Cases. Moldovians will vote to choose a new 101-seat legislature on Sunday in an election many view as a choice between Moldova's continued path toward European Union membership or closer ties with Russia. Moldova's police said that the unrest plot was coordinated from the Russian Federation through criminal elements. Fortuna said that most of the suspects systematically traveled to Serbia, where they received training, and that they were aged between 19 and 45 years old. The head of Moldova's police, Viorel Cernatune, said that some of the suspects didn't know the real purpose of their trips, which were presented as pilgrimages, and only later became involved in training for disorder and destabilization. He added that the investigation was not aimed at political entities despite interpretations. Rather, it was aimed at documenting the criminal intent and organization of these individuals who traveled to Serbia for training. Moldova's pro-Western president, Maia Sandu, said in a statement after the raids on Monday that the Kremlin is spending hundreds of millions of euros to try to sway the election. People are intoxicated daily with lies, she said. Hundreds of individuals are paid to provoke disorder, violence, and spread fear. Defense and Vatican financial case says prosecutor should step down, by Associated Press. Defense lawyers in the Holy See's trial of the century asked the Vatican prosecutor to recuse himself from the appeals trial Monday, arguing he was implicated in questionable behavior according to years of private WhatsApp messages that have shaken the proceedings. The chats show prosecutor Alessandro Didi has personal interest in the outcome that should preclude him from heading the prosecution, the lawyer said in separate motions on the opening day of the appeals trial. The tribunal president, Archbishop Alejandro Aureliano Sadelo, accepted the motions and ordered Didi to respond within 3 days, underscoring how the chats have shifted the ground under the Vatican's most ambitious and high-profile prosecution of alleged financial misconduct. The trial concerning the Vatican's $412 million investment in a London property resulted in the 2023 conviction of 9 people on a host of finance-related charges. The star defendant was Cardinal Angelo Becciu, once a close confidant of Pope Francis and a future papal contender. The investigation took a crucial turn in August 2020 when the prime suspect in the London deal, Monsignor Alberto Prelasca, changed his story and turned on his one-time boss, Pecula. Perlaska escaped indictment and became a prime prosecution witness. Pecula was convicted of embezzlement and sentenced to 5.5 years. Recently, thousands of pages of WhatsApp texts and audio messages have provided the backstory to Perlaska's change of heart. They suggest questionable behavior by Vatican police, Didi, and Francis himself. They document a behind-the-scenes effort by two women, Francesca Cialqui and Geneva Seferi, to target the cardinal by persuading Perlaska to turn on him. While the claims are unverified, the defense has seized on them as evidence that the investigation was contaminated from the start and the defendants couldn't get a fair trial in the Vatican, an absolute monarchy where Francis intervened on behalf of prosecutors. September 24th, articles, Myanmar's two-week lake fest back to glory after disasters by Associated Press. Myanmar's Phwang Dao U Pagoda Festival, a major Buddhist celebration and world-class tourist attraction, has seen some of its celebratory spirit diminished, with locals and visitors citing a confluence of challenges, including the COVID-19 pandemic, political upheaval, and natural disasters, including a recent devastating earthquake. Crowds nonetheless flocked this week to enjoy the festivity with a spectacular gold-gilded barge at its center and scores of smaller wooden boats manned by fishermen from the India and Intha ethnic minority who practice a unique style of rowing while standing with one leg wrapped around a single oar. The ornate barge with the golden image of the mythical Karawik bird on its bow holds four statues of Buddha to 21 villages around the lake for people to pay homage to them. The picturesque festival takes place over more than 2 weeks on mountain-fringed Inlet Lake in southern Shan State, a popular tourist hub about 260 miles northeast of Yangon. The coronavirus pandemic curbed the celebration in 2020. The army's ouster of the elected government of Aung San Suu Kyi in 2021, resulting in civil war over much of the country, led to the event being suspended again to resume only in 2023. Widespread flooding last year again caused its cancellation. The celebration resumed this year, but it was overshadowed by a 7.7 magnitude quake on March 28th that killed more than 3,800 people and caused widespread destruction. While central Myanmar bore the brunt of the quake, Inlet Lake was also significantly affected. Many houses built on wooden stilts in the water collapsed, leaving up to 90% damaged or destroyed in some villages around the lake. Local estimates, unofficial, put the death toll at between 50 and 90, according to a report by the consultancy EGARD Environmental Services. More than 13,000 people in the area were affected. Many or most of the houses have been rebuilt or repaired in the traditional style, but not to the highest standards. Nini saw a 42-year-old ethnic Intha from Hyrarwarma Village told the Associated Press. He said the scarcity of local craftsmen skilled in traditional construction techniques, coupled with the urgency of repairs, was the problem. Not all the houses are standing straight. If you look carefully, to get them back to their original state, they will have to be repaired when the lake dries up in the summer, said Nini Zaw, whose own house was among those damaged. The tourism industry in Inle collapsed after the pandemic. Then came the political change in 2021, and there was the flood last year, noted Nini Zaw, a former tour guide who turned to general labor after the pandemic. It was like miseries overlapping one upon another. Iran's supreme leader rejects U.S. talks over nuclear program by Associated Press. Iran's supreme leader on Tuesday rejected direct negotiations with the United States over his country's nuclear program, likely slamming the door shut on a last-ditch effort to halt the reimposition of United Nations sanctions on Tehran. Ayatollah Ali Khamenei's remarks aired on Iranian state television likely constrain any possible outreach to the U.S. by Iranian President Masoud Pezeshkian, who is in New York for the U.N. General Assembly. Separately, Iranian Foreign Minister Abbas Araghchi held meetings there with diplomats from France, Germany, and Britain over the reimposition of the sanctions set to take effect Sunday. Talks with the U.S. represent a sheer dead end, Khamenei said. The U.S. has announced the result of the talks in advance, he added. The result is the closure of nuclear activities and enrichment. This is not a negotiation. It is a dictate, an imposition. The German Foreign Office, in comments posted on X after the meeting with Araghchi, said that France, Germany, Britain, and the EU urged Iran to take steps within days, if not hours, to address concerns over its nuclear program. It should resume direct talks with the U.S. and provide the International Atomic Energy Agency with access to all its nuclear sites, in line with its obligations, the statement said. The three European countries, known as the E3, triggered the so-called snapback mechanism to reinstate sanctions, barring a last-minute accord over Iran's failure to comply with the conditions of a 2015 nuclear deal aimed at preventing Tehran from developing nuclear weapons. The meeting Tuesday did not appear to move closer to a resolution before Saturday's deadline. But a French diplomat said that the European leaders plan to make full use of the remaining time. The German Foreign Office said diplomatic engagement would continue even if sanctions are reimposed Sunday. Earlier, Germany's Foreign Minister Johann Wadpol had described the chance of reaching an agreement with Iran by the weekend extremely slim. The Germany news agency DPA had reported even before Khamenei's comments. Amid a flurry of diplomatic engagements, Araghchi on Monday also met with Rafael Grossi, the IAEA Director General in New York. Earlier this month, the UN nuclear watchdog and Iran signed an agreement mediated by Egypt to pave the way for resuming cooperation, including on ways of relaunching inspections of Iran's nuclear facilities. However, that agreement has yet to fully take hold. In July, Pezeshkian had signed a law adopted by his country's parliament suspending all cooperation with the UN nuclear watchdog. France, Germany, and the UK began the process of reimposing sanctions on Iran at the end of August. The process, termed a snapback by the diplomats who negotiated it into Iran's 2015 nuclear deal with world powers, was designed to be veto-proof at the UN. It started a 30-day clock ticking for the resumption of sanctions unless the West and Iran reach a diplomatic agreement. Jaguars shutdown to go on, firm says by Associated Press. Jaguar Land Rover said Tuesday that its production line shut down after a cyber attack in August will remain at a halt until at least October 1st. Britain's biggest automaker sent workers home from its factories in central and northwest England on August 31st. The shutdown has rippled through the UK auto industry, JLR, which is owned by India's Tata Motors, employs more than 30,000, with its supply chain supporting tens of thousands more jobs. The company has disclosed limited information about the nature of the attack and says it's investigating. JLR said in a statement that it had extended the pause in production to give clarity for the coming week as we build the timeline for the phased restart of our operations and continue our investigation. It said that it was working with law enforcement and the UK government's National Cybersecurity Center to ensure we restart in a safe and secure manner. The government said the business secretary, Peter Kyle, and industry minister, Chris McDonald, will visit Jaguar Land Rover on Tuesday and talk to companies in the supply chain. We are acutely aware of the difficulties the stoppage is causing for those suppliers and their staff, many of whom are already taking a financial hit through no fault of their own, and we will do everything we can to reassure them that the government is on their side, McDonald said. September 20th articles, California mudslides trap drivers, damage homes, by Associated Press. Mudslides and debris flows knocked down trees, plowed into homes, and trapped drivers for 10 hours after several Southern California communities were hit by heavy rain, authorities said Friday. Authorities rescued 10 people traveling in at least six vehicles who were stranded on State Route 38 in the area of Jenks Lake near the San Bernardino National Forest, the fire district said. The route is narrow and winds through towering trees, curving back and forth up the mountainside and linking cities east of Los Angeles with the resort town of Big Bear Lake. No one was hurt and no one is reported missing, Christopher Prater, a public information officer for the San Bernardino County Fire Protection District, said Friday. The mudslides affected the tiny mountain communities of Forest Falls, Oak Glen, and Potato Canyon, the county's fire protection district said in a statement. One home in Forest Falls had giant tree trunks flung in its yard and piled so high they reached the roof. Forest Falls was walloped by mudslides 3 years ago. That was just 2 years after wildfires ripped through the area, leaving burn scars or areas where there is little vegetation to hold the soil. Intense rains pounded the area for more than an hour Thursday afternoon as remnants of Tropical Storm Mario reached the mountainous region, the National Weather Service said. Cale Steele told KNBC-TV he was driving down the mountain from Big Bear to head to an amusement park when the rain started pounding. Suddenly, we started seeing rocks and stuff coming down the side of the mountain, he said. Steele said cars were turning around, telling him the road was blocked, so he headed back up the mountain, but was blocked again. He turned around once more and said the road he had crossed 30 seconds earlier had been wiped away. There's no road there anymore, he said. The route was still closed as of Friday, the California Highway Patrol said. Authorities plan to assess the hillside areas impacted by the slides to determine the extent of the damage. The community obviously has been impacted fairly significantly, Prater said. How bad, we don't know yet. With the possibility of more storms forecast for Friday, San Bernardino County fire officials asked residents to stay alert, and an evacuation warning was in effect for mountain communities already impacted by Thursday's storm. Forest Falls saw 1.5 inches of rain fall in an hour and a half inch after that, far more than the arid Southern California region usually sees, said Kyle Wheeler, a meteorologist for the National Weather Service in San Diego. The rain also fell much faster, Wheeler said, adding that the rainfall rates for summer thunderstorms in the region are more typically about a half inch per hour. Remains believed to be man wanted in daughter's death, by Associated Press. Authorities were using DNA testing on Friday to determine whether they have found the remains of Travis Decker, an ex-soldier wanted in the deaths of his three daughters in the mountains of Washington State. The Chelan County Sheriff's Office announced Thursday that preliminary findings suggest the remains belong to Decker. They said they hope to have results of the forensic testing soon. While positive identification has not yet been confirmed, preliminary findings suggest the remains belong to Travis Decker, the statement said. The remains were found near Grindstone Mountain, the sheriff's office said Friday. That's close to where a sheriff's deputy on June 2nd found Decker's truck and the bodies of his three daughters, 9-year-old Peyton Decker, 8-year-old Evelyn Decker, and 5-year-old Olivia Decker at a campground outside Leavenworth. 3 days earlier, he failed to return the girls to their mother's home in Wenatchee, about 100 miles east of Seattle, following a scheduled visit. Decker, 32, was an infantryman in the Army from March 2013 to July 2021 and deployed to Afghanistan for 4 months in 2014. He had training in navigation, survival, and other skills, authorities said, and once spent more than 2 months living in the backwoods off the grid. More than 100 officials with an array of state and federal agencies searched hundreds of square miles, much of it mountainous and remote, by land, water, and air during the on-and-off search. The U.S. Marshals Service offered a reward of up to $20,000 for information leading to his capture. Last September, Decker's ex-wife, Whitney Decker, wrote in a petition to modify their parenting plan that his mental health issues had worsened and that he had become increasingly unstable. He was often living out of his truck, and she sought to restrict him from having overnight visits with their daughters until he found housing. An autopsy determined the girls' cause of death to be suffocation, the sheriff's office said. They had been bound with zip ties and had plastic bags placed over their heads. Holiday spending to dip this season expected to sharpen retail competition, by Carson Hartzog, the Minnesota Star Tribune, TNS. Consumers plan to cut holiday spending this year, putting extra pressure on retailers for their critical shopping season. Shoppers will shrink their holiday budgets by an average of 5%, the first notable decline since 2020, according to PwC's annual Holiday Outlook Survey. That decline 5 years ago occurred amid the pandemic and its curtailed holiday celebrations. Gen Z is just pulling back significantly, said Kelly Peterson, PwC partner, noting that younger generation is facing the highest credit card delinquency rates and shifting more spending toward experiences like concerts and travel, where prices have risen faster than goods. Consumers are also anticipating a shorter shopping period, with most expecting to have their gift hunting complete by Cyber Monday. Minneapolis-based Target is prioritizing value and convenience to stand out from the competition. The retailer is leaning into shoppers' economic concerns and truncated shopping schedule with seasonal campaigns, weekly promotions, and expanded next-day shipping. Fellow Twin Cities-based electronics company Best Buy and other retailers are also strategizing for a more competitive few months. More than 84% of consumers expect to cut back spending in the next 6 months, citing rising prices, potential tariffs, and a higher cost of living on everything from cars to insurance premiums, the PwC survey found. Retail sales data for August show the consumers are still spending, but cautiously. Most of the 3.5% year-over-year growth is due to inflation, said Neil Saunders, Managing Director of Global Data. Put simply, retailers are making more money on higher prices rather than increased consumer buying. Volume, which looks at the actual number of products sold, rose 0.4%, down from 1.4% in July. Consumers are being very considered and deliberate about their spending, Saunders wrote in an analyst note. They're shopping around, comparing prices, and making sure they get more bang for their buck. Gen Z shoppers plan to slash budgets by 23% during the holidays, a sharp reversal from 2024 when their spending jumped 37%. Baby boomers, meanwhile, plan to increase spending by 5%. Senate approves Waltz, second pick for U.N. ambassador. The Senate on Friday confirmed Mike Waltz to be the next U.S. ambassador to the United Nations, filling the last vacancy in President Donald Trump's cabinet after 8 months of delays in the withdrawal of a previous nominee. The bipartisan vote for Waltz came after a recent procedural hurdle sent his nomination back to the Senate Foreign Relations Committee. More than 400 immigration arrests in Chicago crackdown. Immigration enforcement officials have arrested more than 400 people as part of an operation in the Chicago area that launched a little less than 2 weeks ago. Marcos Charles, the acting head of ICE's enforcement and removal operations, said Friday. When asked whether he thought the amount of arrests at this point in the operation was positive, Charles said 400 is a solid number, adding that the figure includes arrests made by other federal agencies besides ICE who are assisting in the campaign. Well, that's all the time we have for today. This has been Don with News and Review. I hope you've enjoyed today's reading from the Audio Reading Service at the Allen County Public Library in Fort Wayne, Indiana.